Okay, let's take our Bibles, Joshua chapter 11. Joshua chapter number 11. And whenever you find your place there, if you wouldn't mind, stand as we read. We'll just be taking half the chapter this time. Joshua chapter 11. Starting in verse number 1. Says this. And it came to pass, when Jabin, king of Hazor, had heard those things, that he sent to Jobab, king of Madon, man, these guys and their names, and to the king of Shimron, and to the king of Akshath, yeah, that's what I meant, and to the kings that were on the north of the mountains. And so they've moved from the southern part of Canaan to the north here, and of the plains of Chinneroth, and in the valley, and in the borders of Dor on the west, and to the Canaanite on the east and on the west, and to the Amorite and the Hittite and the Perizzite and the Jebusite in the mountains, and to the Hivite and to under Hermon in the land of Mizpah. So there's a lot of people involved with this. We'll explain what they're doing in this course of our preaching tonight. But they went out, they and all their hosts with them, much people, even as the sand that is upon the seashore in multitude, with horses and chariots very many. And when all these kings were met together, they came and pitched together at the waters of Merom to fight against Israel. So that's what they're up to. They're all gathering to fight Israel. Verse 6. And the Lord said unto Joshua, these very familiar words, be not afraid because of them, for tomorrow about this time will I deliver them up all slain before Israel. No problem, right? This sounded pretty intimidating until then, right? Amen. Thou shalt hew their horses and burn their chariots with fire. Hew the horses means to cut the tendons of the horses, basically rendering them useless. We'll talk about that in a second. Verse 7. So Joshua came and all the people of war with him against them by the waters of Merom, suddenly, and they fell upon them, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Israel, who smote them, and chased them unto great Zidon, and unto Misrephothmaim, okay, and unto the valley of Mizpah eastward. And they smote them until they left them none remaining. And Joshua did unto them as the Lord bade him. That's an important part of this passage. He hewed their horses and burnt their chariots with fire. And Joshua at that time turned back and took Hazor and smote the king thereof with the sword. And Hazor before time was the head of all those kingdoms. And they smote all the souls that were therein with the edge of the sword, utterly destroying them. There was not any left to breathe, and he burnt Hazor with fire. And all the cities of those kings and all the kings of them did Joshua take and smote them with the edge of the sword, and he utterly destroyed them, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded. Another important phrase there. But as for the cities that stood still, those, that means those that haven't been destroyed yet in their strength, Israel burned none of them, save Hazor only. That did Joshua burn. And all the spoil of these cities and the cattle the children of Israel took for a prey unto themselves, but every man they smote with the edge of the sword, until they had destroyed them, neither left they any to breathe. Verse 15. And the Lord, as the Lord commanded Moses his servant, so did Moses command Joshua, and so did Joshua. This is the testimony of Joshua. He left nothing undone of all that the Lord commanded Moses. And at this point, it's done. This is the end of the conquering. This is the last of Canaan that he took, and verse 15 is the testimony of that. So tonight we're going to stop our reading there, verses 16 to the end, and really most of chapter 12 is just recapping the conquest there. But we'll stop there, and the sermon title tonight is this: keep fighting until it's over. Just keep fighting until it's over. Let's pray, we'll get into it. Lord, thank you so much for your goodness and your grace. Thank you, Lord, that you do fight for us. And God, no matter how intimidating the enemy may seem to us, and no matter how hard the battle might feel and how impossible it might feel to follow you We're thankful that we can trust you. We don't have to trust in our strength. We don't have to trust in horses or chariots, but we can trust in your strength. And we're thankful that you've shown yourself faithful over and over again. So help us just to faithfully serve, to follow you, and to do so until you're done with what you have for us. We love you. Pray that you bless our evening tonight. Christ in my pray, amen. You may be seated. Thank you very much for standing again. And so chapter 10 was a couple weeks ago, but he had just finished, Joshua and Israel, finished conquering the southern part of Canaan. Remember, the message then was, God will fight your battle, so go fight your battle. And that's what they did, right? And all the Amorites, if you remember, those five kings joined forces, and they went to fight, not necessarily Israel, but they went to fight Gibeon. Do you remember that? And of course, Israel, they had to keep their pact with Gibeon to defend them, but it was also convenient in a way, because all of the enemies of the southern kingdom all gathered in one spot. And so that's nice, right? We can just take care of this all in one swoop. And so they did that, and they were marching toward them. And even though it was convenient in that way, it was still intimidating, wasn't it? I mean, it's nice that they don't have to go city by city by city, but now they do have to fight five kingdoms worth of armies all at once. And it was intimidating to see the army, but we learned, didn't we, that God told Joshua that he would deliver the army into his hand. And that's exactly what we saw him do. Do you remember the incredible things that God did, the things that we saw God do for Joshua? So we heard about the Amorite army and that mass of people heading toward Gibeon. Joshua caught wind of that and traveled all night. Remember that? He traveled all night to Gibeon to defend Gibeon. And when they got there, God caused for the army of the Amorites to be confused. And Israel, because of that, was able to slaughter many there. And then we saw after that, God sent hailstones. Remember? And hailstones fell from heaven. And the Bible says that God himself killed more than even they did. And then we saw that God stopped the sun for 24 hours, stopped the sun and the moon, and they just stood still for 24 hours, and we saw that God fought for Israel. And then we saw after that, they defeated the army there, and they went through and went ahead and took the entire southern part of Canaan there. And if you look at the last verse of chapter 10, it's verse 43. They did all of this, and Joshua returned, and all Israel with him, unto the camp to Gilgal. And it's like you can see the sigh of relief. Like, that was a lot. And they're finally home, and they get to lay in their own bed, right? We know that feeling. It's like this summer. We finished camp, we finished YouthCon, we finished all the things, and we get to be home. But no breaks for Joshua. Because look what it says in verse 1. The moment they make it back to Gilgal, home sweet home, and it came to pass when Jabin, king of Hazor, had heard those things, we're not having this, Joshua, here we come. And he sent to Jobab and Madron and all our friends with the funny names, and called for really to do the exact same thing that the southern part of Canaan. Do you remember the Amorites got together in the southern half? And now, right after they fought that hard battle against the southern armies, we see that Jabin, the king of Hazor, gathers his own combined army in the north to do the very same thing. And we see in verse 4, they went out, they and all their host with them, much people, even as the sand that is upon the seashore in multitude. And not only were there more people than they can count, but there were also chariots and horses to go with it. And so again, it's if you read it, it actually looks like a condensed version of chapter 10, just now in the north. In verse 6, though, we find out, again, the same thing that God said. Yes, they look intimidating. Yes, there's more people than you can count. Yes, there's chariots. Yes, there's horses. But in verse 6, we read again that the Lord said unto Joshua, be not afraid because of them, basically saying again, I will take care of it. And this is the rhythm, and this has been the rhythm of how it's been for Joshua and Israel. And really, that's how it still is when you serve the Lord today. At first, you see the armies, and they seem incredibly intimidating. You see the fight in front of you that God has called you to fight. And the reason it sounds intimidating is because it is. The enemy is hard. If you were to face the enemy in your own strength, you would lose. It's true. If you were to face the battle within, and the things that you need to overcome, and the attitudes that you need to overcome, and the mindsets you need to overcome, and the sin that you've really enjoyed your whole life, because sin is fun, and you've gotten used to doing that, and if you've gotten used to living a certain way, now it's time to confront that. And that's hard to do. In fact, it's impossible to do. And the reason you've been living the way you've been living is not necessarily because you like it, not necessarily because it's been working for you. In fact, you pretty much know it's not been working for you. But in your flesh, it's really all you got, right? And you can't overcome these things on your own. But then, as you see the battle, as God makes clear the decisions that you need to make, if you're going to continue to live this victorious life, as God reveals that battle, and as you're intimidated in your flesh, God will remind you this. Be not afraid of them, because I will fight for you. And then you enter the battle, right? Trusting that God will give victory. Trusting that God has already given you the victory. That's what God would tell them over and over. Also, one of those phrases you'll see in Joshua, that I have already given you the enemy. It hasn't happened yet, but you can just count on it. I've given you the enemy. Trusting that God's going to do it, but still, especially at first, as you enter this life for God, if you're completely honest, you're still pretty intimidated, right? You know who God is, yeah, and you've seen Him do some things, but this is still intimidating. And Israel, remember when they entered that battle at Gibeon, and they saw the armies of the Amorites, and they saw that God confused the armies. When He did that, they were able to get in there, and they were able to slay a great slaughter, it says in chapter 10. And that was a blessing. But after that, we found that God sent the hailstones. And listen, they had already slaughtered a great slaughter. But then it says that God sent hailstones, and God killed more than that. So a lot has already happened. But even after that, they look at the army, and Joshua says to himself, I need more time. There's so much still to do. And it was intimidating, really, through that whole thing. And sometimes while you're watching God do incredible things, and you see Him send hailstones, and you see Him confuse the enemy, and you see Him do and use you to do some amazing things, you see Him do some amazing things that you really had nothing to do with, but still you look at this incredibly huge army that's still left, sometimes you can become discouraged. But what you got to keep doing is just keep fighting, right? You keep fighting, and you watch God do some incredible things. And if you continue following God, and if you keep trusting Him, and you just keep fighting the battles, listen, it's only a matter of time before you see hailstones fall, and a matter of time before you see the sun stand still. And it's just a matter of time before God gives you victory. But what you need to do is just keep following Him. And keep following Him. Wave after wave after wave. You gotta keep following God. And not resting in the fact that you've been able to do it, but resting in the fact that God has done it, and that God will continue to do it, even if it still feels intimidating. But again, just as they finally did it. They finally defeated that massive army. They finally took the southern part, and they make it back to Gilgal. Here comes the northern army. And here we go again, right? Are you feeling the weight of this? Are you feeling just the on and on it goes? I've heard someone say this: the problem with the Christian life is it's just so daily. It's just every day. It's like you feel like you had a good day, and you feel like God did some incredible things. It was a hard fight, but God got you through it. But then you wake up the next day, and here comes the Northern Army, right? And when at first in your Christian life, as you started the battle, and you remember, you know, the day you got saved, but then you also remember that day that you decided, no, I'm going to give my life to God. I'm going to follow Him no matter what. And this Jordan River looks scary, and this thing, this life of following God, I don't know what it looks like, and I don't know how I'm going to do this, but I know God's going to do it. And you jump in, and at first it's kind of exciting, and at first really the struggle is that you don't know how God's going to do it, and you're kind of nervous about how He's going to give you the victory, but then you watch God do it, right? And you watch God do it over and over and over again. And now you know, you've done this for long enough, maybe, that you know God's going to give you victory. And at some point in your Christian life, as you're following God, the struggle becomes less with trusting that God's going to do it, and the struggle becomes more with, I wonder if it's ever going to end, right? And there will be times when you can stop and catch your breath, and God will give you those times. But I'm telling you, as you live for God, there are going to be seasons in your life when it seems like it's one battle after another battle after another battle. And sometimes God will put you in a big battle where it's wave after wave after wave. And then you finally feel like God has given you victory over that, and you don't even have time to celebrate before there's another battle. Sometimes it's going to be that way in your life. And it's in those times when we need to remember the words of Paul. 2 Thessalonians 3:13, which actually, coincidentally, will be there on Wednesday, but he says, But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. We need to remember that at times in our life. At times it feels exciting. At times it feels like things are just happening and it's awesome, but at times it sure feels like a grind. And it's in those times where we need to remember those words. And yeah, maybe we struggle less with the stress and the worry of how God's going to do this. In fact, I don't know about you, but I found it this way that I'm anymore when I'm facing a battle, it's less worry and stress, and it's more exciting just to see how God's going to do it, right? That's kind of where I've been in following God. And at first it was stressful and made me nervous, but now I just know God's going to do it. And I'm just excited to see how it's going to end up. But then in those times, the stress and the worry is sometimes shifted in our flesh to overwhelm and burden. And like, I need a break, you know? I need a break. And it can be wearisome. We might start to wonder if we even want to keep fighting. Because part of this is us fighting, right? Remember the message last time? God will fight your battles, but you've got to fight your battles, right? And it can become tiring. And sometimes we feel like we want to just give up on this whole thing. And if we're not careful, it can become wearisome. But we can't let ourselves get there. We can't let ourselves get there. We cannot allow ourselves to become weary in well-doing. Joshua was there, wasn't he? He had fought a lot of battles that seemed to be back to back to back. From Jericho to dealing with Ai and the sin in his own camp, to the deception of Gibeon, to the combined armies of the Amorites, to the northern campaign now. Here comes the combined army from them, and will it ever end? And well, actually, yes, it's about to, right? We read it, we were done. And when we get to the verse 12, 13, it's feeling like we're never going to get through this, and just three or four verses later, it's done. And they're settling in the land, and they're divvying up the land. But it's when the war is coming to an end, and it's when you're about to finish this part of the fight for God that Satan sometimes will fight the very hardest. Because he can see the end, and he wants you to give up before you make it there. Yeah. It's like when you run a marathon. Now, maybe not all of us can identify with that. I never ran a marathon. I didn't run a race, a trail run. It was a 6K? Six, that sounds better. Yeah, six. No, it might have been a 10K. I don't know. It was a trail run, though. And it wasn't a good idea. I shouldn't have done it, but I did. And so, if you ever had run a long race like that, at first you jump in, and it's like that first mile takes no time if you've been training, right? And you run that first mile, and you're like, I got this. But then you get to the end, and you see the finish line, and that last quarter of a mile seems like 10 miles, doesn't it? And it's hard to finish it out. But we can't. Listen, we can't allow ourselves to be weary in well-doing. We got to finish strong, right? We got to keep fighting until it's over. And I'm not saying that this is the last fight you'll ever fight. I'm not saying that, you know, our life is over after this. That's not where we're headed. But this battle that you're in, sometimes we get weary. And I found in my life that it's when at those times where the anxiety is gone, but the weary and just the overwhelm of it, that's just take comfort. There's a good chance you're getting to the end of this thing. Keep going. The finish line's right there. Keep going. Because God will give you the victory, but only if you keep going. Keep going. Keep going. And as Joshua finishes up the last battles in Canaan land, here's what we find him doing for us and giving us this example. Here's what he does. What do you mean by keep going? Well, just keep doing what God said. That's what he started off with this whole thing, isn't it? And to overcome the fear and the anxiety and the worry about the future, you just trust God and you keep doing what God said. And to overcome the overwhelm and like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to finish this thing. I don't know if I can keep going. I'm wore out. I'm tired. I can't keep going. No, here's what will help you through. You just keep doing what God said. That's what Joshua did. He hears about the combined armies of the north. And at this point, it almost just feels routine, right? He hears about a big army coming his way. He goes to God. God says, don't worry about it, right? This is the way it goes. But then after that, he hears for instruction. And God gives instruction at the end of verse 6. He says, I will deliver them up, all slain before Israel. And then he says, thou shalt hew their horses and burn their chariots with fire. And so he does that. He says, yes, Lord. He goes. He takes the army to the fight with Jabin and the combined army there. And then you get to the end of, you get to verse 9, it says, and Joshua did unto them as the Lord bade him. He hewed their horses and burnt their chariots with fire. Now, what's the deal with that? I explained it to you. When you hew a horse, you slit its tendons and its legs, and you're never using that horse again. It's over, right? Unless you're in modern times, and maybe Doug can help him out. I don't know. But back then, for sure, if they split their tendons, it's over. Well, why did God have them do that? Because, you know, they could have just won the battle and kept the horse, right? They could have won the battle and kept the chariot. But God didn't want them to lean on their horses and their chariots. God wanted them to lean on him. And so God says, you destroy the army, and when you're done, you hew the horses and you burn the chariots, because you're going to trust in me. And as you get to the next battle, I'll fight that one too. Okay? And so that was the point behind that. And so God tells him, but here's the message tonight. God said, do this, and he did it. Again, militarily, as a military strategist, no sense, right? As a military strategist, you want the horses, you want the chariots. But as he's following God, he knows this. My main resource is God. And I'm going to do what God said. And so it didn't matter if it even set him back militarily, he followed God. And sometimes when you follow God, it doesn't make sense physically, it doesn't make sense financially, it doesn't make sense maybe even sometimes for your safety or whatever. as you see, as we see happening with Brother Mike, and as he's following the Lord, there's no human sense in this. There's no human sense to come to Nebraska and do all this and uproot his family and all of that. But he understands this, and hopefully you understand this. It makes way less sense to know God says to do something and not do it. And Joshua knew. It doesn't matter what he thought about this. It didn't matter how much sense it made to him to keep the horse and to keep the chariot. He knew what makes the most sense is just do what God said. He learned that at Ai, didn't he? And so he does. He hews the horses and he burns the chariots. And then he went on to utterly destroy the entire northern part of Canaan. And at the end of verse 12, it says this: as Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded. And so he destroyed the armies of Jabin in the north. He went and took the rest of Canaan. And as he did, he destroyed the cities. Why did he do that? Because that's what God said. And even all the way till the end, we find Joshua being faithful to hear what God says and do what God says. And here is, again, just the statement of Joshua's life. In verse 15, here's how Joshua lived his life always. Whether it was exciting, whether it was a grind, whether he was nervous, whether he was confident, what he did through his life is this: as the Lord commanded Moses, his servant, so Moses commanded Joshua, and so did Joshua. That's what he did. And it got him through to the end. He left nothing undone of all that the Lord commanded Moses. And that's what got him through. He was faithful to the end. And I don't know where you are in your life right now. I don't know if you're looking to the future and you're feeling more like you're at the beginning of the Jordan River, or if you're toward the end and you're worn out. Wherever you are in your journey here, here's what you need to just keep doing. Listen to what God says. Do what God says. Come to church. Hear what God commanded the man who wrote the scripture. Hear what God has for me to explain to you. And then you take what God said and you're faithful to do what God said, and He'll do it. He'll do it. And I know at times the Christian life can feel so routine and so daily, and like you'll never get a break. But let me encourage you, just keep fighting until it's over. Keep fighting until your life is over, but keep fighting until this battle is over. Don't give up. God will give you rest when it's time. He will. He'll give you rest. If you look at, let's see, verse 13, but as for the cities that stood still in their strength, and Israel burned none of them. Do you know why Israel didn't burn any of those? It's because that's where they were going to stay. I should have wrote down the verse, but in Deuteronomy, I believe it is, as Moses is giving Joshua instruction, you know, we understand from God, he said that you're going to get into the land and you're going to stay in cities that you didn't build, right? And these are them, right? Now, some of the cities they burned to the ground, but a lot of the cities, most of the cities, they kept there. Why? Because God was going to let them rest and let them settle in the land. And in doing so, they wouldn't even have to build it. It would be there for them. And there's times in your life where you're going to be busy, busy, busy for God. And there's times in your life where He's going to give you times of rest. You just need to make sure that whatever that is, that it's God telling you to do it. Because God will give you times to rest. And when God gives you times to rest, you need to take the time to rest. And when God gives you times where you need to fight, you need to make sure you fight and trust that God will fight for you. But when it's all over and you're settling into the land, you'll look back and you'll be glad that you were faithful. You'll be glad that you refused to become weary in well-doing. I believe it's... Go ahead and go to chapter 13 and we'll be done there. So the end of chapter 11, again, is when they kind of recap what's happened. Chapter 12, they talk about the kings that they overcame. So it's over, the land has been conquered. And we get to chapter 13, and Joshua was old and stricken in years. And the Lord said, "Thou art old and stricken in years, and there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed." And there's still going to, even after you pass from this life, there's going to be more that needs to be done. And it's kind of like a baton race, right? And you're running your leg of the race. But when Joshua got to the end of his leg of the race, he can look back and say that he was thankful, that he was faithful to hear what God said and do what God said. Now, he will have some regrets, right? The times where he didn't listen to what God said. But overall, he'll look back and he'll be thankful that even when it was hard, even when it was a grind, even when he was nervous and scared out of his mind, that he trusted God and he fought until it was over. I'm telling you, it will be worth it to you. Don't give up. You might be going through a hard time right now. You might be thinking, "I've got too much going on to keep this thing going, to keep coming to church and to keep reading my Bible and to keep being faithful and to keep serving people and to give myself that way. I've got nothing else to give." Just keep doing what God tells you to do. Just keep doing what God tells you to do. And he doesn't promise that he's going to make it easy on you. He doesn't. But he promises that he'll help you get through it. And at the end, you'll be thankful you did. You'll be thankful you did. Keep fighting until it's over. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for the example of Joshua and Israel as they continued that pattern, that they listened to you and obeyed you, trusting that you would take care of the battles ahead. And God, help us to have that testimony. Help us to live a life where people look at us and as they evaluate our life, they'll say, "This is a man who listens to God and follows where God leads." Even when it brings us to a place we don't understand, even when it takes us to a place where we don't know if we can overcome, takes us to a place where we're weary and worn out, Lord, help us to trust you. Help us to trust that you'll give victory over the enemy. Help us to trust that you'll give us victory over our own self. And as we just follow you, help us, God, to not be weary. Help us to keep fighting all the way until the end. We love you. Thank you for that confidence that we could have in you. It's Christ's name I pray. Amen. Let's stand together. Brother Josh is going to play a song of invitation. If God's working your heart, now's the time to come. And